Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another. So we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
Well, good morning, Northside. It is great to be back with you after a week of vacation. Our family, we got to go to Hilton Head for the week, which was a lot of fun for us. And you definitely are ready to get back when you spend 15 hours driving in one day like we did yesterday. So that's one way to look forward to getting home, is to do that. The other one is when you're on vacation and on your way to Charleston, is to watch Northside's live stream on Sunday morning, as we did, and listen to Alan Tiger preach, which I thought he had a great sermon that day, but also to hear his jokes as he lays them on you, as he did. If you were here last week and heard Alan Tiger giving me a hard time, that also is motivating to come on back, but so I don't have to hear any more flack from that guy. So if you missed that, you just have to, you know, listen to the podcast or live stream or something to listen to him. But anyway, it is great to be back. I just have this quick question to get things rolling today. First of all, just raise your hand right now if you've ever heard anybody say the phrase, or if maybe these words even came from your own lips, you said these words yourselves. Raise your hand if you ever heard someone say, God won't give you more than you can handle. Go ahead and just raise your hand right now if you've heard that phrase. Yeah, me too. Yeah, most of us have heard that phrase. God won't give you more than you can handle. This is the reason why we decided we were going to embark on a new series today called Twitterology. When 140 characters or less twist God's word. I realize we might have a typo because on your bulletin today it said 142. So we may have to get that fixed before next week. But anyway, 140 characters, when it twists God's word. It seems that in our bite-sized approach to sharing these cliches and these phrases that oftentimes Christians will say with the intent to be helpful, we often will share things that actually are misleading, that distort a good picture of our God, that twist His word. And that is why over the next 4 weeks, we're going to hit four of these that I believe we often hear that really distort and hinder people from really coming to know God for who He really is. And we don't want to do anything that would hinder people from knowing God. And so we got some weird settings there. Sorry about that. So we don't want to hinder that. So here's the things we're going to cover over the next 4 weeks. Here's what they are. Number one, God won't give you more than you can handle. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to address that. Next week, we're going to address this one. Maybe you've heard somebody say this, do not judge. Do not judge. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that taken completely out of context, when in fact, the Bible calls us to make some judgments. And so we'll talk about that one. Number three is this, ask anything and it will be given to you. God says, ask anything and it will be given to you. And so we name it and we claim it. We ask anything, it's going to be given to us. We're going to address that one. And here's the fourth one. Everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. These are phrases that we often use, and they can oftentimes lead to a misunderstanding of our God, and in some cases are flat out wrong. And the one that I'm going to address today, God won't give you more than you can handle, I really do believe this one is just flat out wrong. And I want to talk about this because some people have gotten this idea from a specific text in Scripture. We're going to address that. And I want to share with you today five reasons I will never say God won't give you more than you can handle. Five reasons why I would never tell somebody God won't give you more than you can handle. And my first reason is because of the first four words in that phrase. God won't give you. God won't give you. Everybody give Ron a hand right here. This is Ron Nider. He always fixes everything around here. We like Ron, don't we? You're awesome, man. Thank you, buddy. So anyway, God won't give you. Those four words, God won't give you, is a problem. And here's why. Because that phrase implies that the bad things you experience are from God. The bad things you experience are from God. And I think that implication is oftentimes wrong. Every time I've heard this phrase used, it's because of some difficulty or hardship, or because of suffering or pain or illness or death or financial pressure, or even after a weather event like a tornado or a flood or a car crash even. And in an intent to be helpful, somebody will say, hey, God won't give you more than you can handle. But the person hearing this, all they can hear is, God is doing this. Hey, God won't give you. God is doing this to you. He's brought on the pain. This horrible life tragedy, this horrible circumstance you're going through, this is from God. It implies that he's the direct cause. And what I want you to hear for a moment is this, that the fact is, God is not always the direct cause. He is not always the direct cause. Sometimes pain comes into our lives because of my own bad decisions, because of stupid choices I make. I bring pain on into my life. And for me to say, God won't give you more than you can handle, is to actually try to divert the responsibility, shirk my responsibility by saying that God did this when in fact I did this. So sometimes pain comes into our lives because I did it. Sometimes pain comes into our lives because of not just our own bad decisions, but other people's bad decisions. Some stupid choice that they make affects us in a negative way. It wasn't God's direct cause. It wasn't in his direct will that that would happen. In fact, we're going to engage that more in week 4 of this series. So for us to say God won't give you is to say this is from God when it may be from someone else. Or I even think about the pain that comes in our lives because of Satan himself. When Job went through all of the pain and suffering that Job went through, as an example for us in the Old Testament, that all came from Satan. It did not come from God. Satan did that. And so to say God won't give you means that God is doing this, when in fact maybe Satan is doing this in your life because he wants to tempt you to lead you away from God. And so God is not always the direct cause. So in moments of hardship, I don't want to say God won't give you because maybe this isn't from God. Maybe, in fact, it's in direct opposition to God's will, his direct will, that this be your experience. We'll hit more on that on week 4. But God's not always the direct cause. So I don't want to imply that every bad experience you have is from God. I think that would be very misleading of who our God is. And I'll give you a second reason I never use this phrase. It's because it is a misinterpretation of Scripture. It's a misinterpretation of Scripture. The idea that God won't give you more than you can handle comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. That's where this idea got perpetuated. In fact, I want us to look at this text together. If you have your device or Bible, you can do that as well, although I heard we're having some Wi-Fi issues, so it's possible that if you're using your device today, you may not be able to do that through our guest Wi-Fi. But on the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, 13, here's what the text says. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful." I think we sang about that, didn't we? "He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." I think that phrase on the previous slide that said, "He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear," has led people to say and perpetuate this idea that God won't give you more than you can handle. But those two ideas are not even closely related. They're opposites. In fact, when you look at the context of this verse, you begin to realize that the Scripture says, God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear without providing a way out. He's given you an exit. He's given you a way out of this temptation. Every temptation you face, he is faithful to provide a way out of that temptation. That is very different than saying, no matter what life circumstance comes into your life, it'll never be more than you can handle. Those are two completely different ideas. In fact, the context of this verse, if we were to read the preceding verses, verses 6 through 12, we realize that what is happening here is Paul is saying that if the Israelites, who rebelled and sinned against God through idolatry and through immorality, sexual immorality, do not think, Corinthian church, that if you engage again in idolatry and immorality, that God will not also punish you for the very same sins that he punished the Israelites for. Therefore, you need to stand firm, you need to be on your guard, you need to be ready to run, you need to be ready to flee, you need to head for the exits when you are tempted. This is about temptation. In fact, here's the example that Paul gives of Israel. He says, "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were." As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. The entire context of this verse is that we need to watch out for those temptations and those sins that are so prevalent. You know, the Corinthian church here had just come out of a culture that was just permeated with idolatry and with immorality. In fact, as part of their worship of their gods, they committed sexual acts in the temple as part of their worship. And they've just come out of this immorality into the church of the living God. They've just come out of their idolatry to make God their Lord and their Christ. And Paul is saying to them, if God brought you out of that, though the temptation might be great to go back into it because that's what you once were, it just seems that the sins that we once gave ourselves into become those temptations that we constantly feel again. He's warning them and saying, you need to stand against that. You need to flee that temptation that is everywhere. And you need to know that God will provide a way out. You may feel enslaved to it. They felt enslaved to it, like they were kept coming back to it. And he says, you're not slaves to it. Every temptation, God is giving you an exit. He's giving you a way out. And every safety expert is always telling you to watch for the exits. Know where the exits are in the room. And I can see the exits in our room. Every person who gets on an airplane has a flight attendant telling them and pointing out where the exits are so they can know how to get out of there. And what he's saying is the promise of God is that he's going to give you a way out. You know, when Jesus taught us to pray, and he said, lead us not into temptation. Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What he was saying there is, God, you are sovereign over all. Don't let us be tempted beyond what you can bear. God, give us a way out. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 is the promise that God will do that very thing. He's going to give you a way out. He's going to show you an exit. Our problem is we don't take the exit. We don't pursue it. We don't listen to the Spirit who's already put speed bumps in front of us, and we feel them, and we know, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, but we give in to our own evil desires. You know, even James, the brother of Jesus who would write the letter James, said that God does not tempt anyone. God's not doing the tempting. He said it's when you're by your own evil desires, you're dragged away and enticed. Your own evil desires, your own flesh tempting you to do this, and you see the exit, you feel the speed bump, but you reject the Spirit's prompting to flee. You know, Paul would say that. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 10:14 to flee idolatry. In chapter 6, 18, he tells them to flee sexual immorality. In other words, there's exits. Get out of here. There's some temptations. You just got to run. You got to get out of there. Don't just stand and resist. Get out. Go. Take the exit. Take what God has given you. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:13 is about. And some of you in this past week, you've been facing those same temptations, those same very things that you feel enslaved about. And God in every one of them is faithful in providing you an exit out of there if you would just take it. If you would listen to the prompting of His Spirit. You can never say the devil made me do it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says God gave you a way out. And oftentimes, it's not the devil, it's your own flesh, your own evil desires that are tempting you to do this. So God provides a way out. The problem is we often just don't pursue it. We don't take it. And so in context of this verse, this is about a way out of temptation. And we all need to hear that. I hit on that in our series Pumped in the second week when I talk about the armor of God, that we are in a spiritual battle. And we need every week, if we let down that shield of faith, if we let down our guard, if we are not alert, our own sinful flesh and the evil one will tempt us and lead us where we don't want to go and keep us there longer than we want to stay. We need to take to the exits. And so this idea that God won't give you more than you can handle, it doesn't come from 1 Corinthians 10:13. It totally misconstrues that verse. You won't find that phrase in the Bible. It's a spiritual urban legend. And that is sad that it has caught on. And the reason for this is because of this. This is another reason I don't use this phrase. Because it leads people to believe God has let them down. This phrase, God won't give you more than you can handle, it leads people to think that God has let them down. And the reason for this is because there are people all around us who are dealing with more than they can handle. Every day. I feel like almost every day I am talking to someone who's dealing with something that is more than they can handle. And when that happens to them, and we use that phrase, it leads them to think that God doesn't care about them, that God doesn't come through for them, that God doesn't keep his promises. God must not care about their situation, about them personally. And though we intend good by saying it, I think we're actually speaking something that becomes an obstacle and a hindrance to them experiencing God fully in their lives. Scripture that is taken out of context gives a distorted view of our God, and it hurts people in their faith. I was thinking about this a week or two ago, and I just thought about a family in our church that there is no question they're dealing with more than they can handle. A lot of you may know David and Christy Keaton right here. I have to apologize to David and Christy. I pulled this picture off Facebook, and I think it's like a year and a half old, so their kids are probably thinking, I don't look like that anymore, and they probably don't. They're bigger now. But this is Cole, Carly, Christy, and David Keaton. They've been coming to Northside for years. They're in my small group. And if you just know a portion of their story, then you know that they're dealing with a lot more than they can handle. Christy, on January 3rd of 2014, she was a nurse that would go into people's homes. They call that an infusion nurse, where she would help people with IVs and chemo and special medication. And she drove herself probably 900 to 1,000 miles a week doing that and working for Cox Health Systems in that capacity. And on that day, and we don't know exactly what happened, how it happened, why it happened, we just know that when she got off I-44 on the James River Expressway here in Springfield, that she came to the bridge, that overpass, and when she got there, she, for whatever reason, went off the road and had this 40-foot drop into this ravine where she landed trunk first, and there's some of the pictures of the car where everybody just said it was a miracle that she lived. It was another miracle that she wasn't paralyzed. And her injuries are pretty extensive. She had a traumatic brain injury. Her vision was distorted. She had a small bleed in her head. She had 3 broken ribs on each side. Her sternum was fractured. The vertebral process from L1 to L5 were fractured. Her right pelvis was fractured in multiple places. She had 3 stitches in her chin. She spent a month in the hospital, 3 months in inpatient rehab from February to May, 3 days a week, 3 hours a day doing rehab. After all that, they found a lymphocele in her left leg, and now it's also in her right leg, which is a collection of lymph fluid because the lymph system is distorted, and fluid collects in that area and causes major pain and nerve pain. And then after a month, when she was discharged, she saw specialists who found permanent eye damage to both of her occipital lobes and said she could continue to lose vision for up to 10 years, which she has been losing vision. Right now, she's been in a trial period with a spinal cord stimulator that went into her epidural space to relieve her of pain. And if it works, it can be permanently put in. I think it was supposed to be taken out while I was gone on vacation, so I haven't heard yet how that turned out. But that's what she's been going through. During all of that, Christy's husband, David, has been right by her side through all of this. He got a job that a year and a half before that allowed him to be with her and kind of work remotely through a lot of her rehab and her recovery. He's been there 24 hours a day, been a part of this journey with her, because Christy's lost a lot. She's lost her independence. She's lost her nursing career. She's lost her ability to drive. She can't clean house. She can't even cook, because just standing there for very long because of the lymphocele issues is causing great pain. She can't walk long distances. The pain gets too bad. David was driving her to all of her appointments, getting his kids everywhere they needed to go, covering for all that while she's been rehabbing. It has been a long journey. It doesn't seem to get any better. And then David, last September of 2016, while he's trying to help care for her and take care of all this, suffered a detached retina in his left eye. He was at work, started losing vision. They put in silicone, he had surgery within 24 hours. They put in silicone oil to help with the healing process, to decrease the amount of scar tissue. He developed cataracts in that eye. In January of this year, he had the oil removed. His vision was not good. In April, he had the cataract removed in that left eye. There were surgery complications, still not great vision. Then on May 4th of this year, he suffered a detached retina on his right eye. On May 5th and 6th, they were trying not to do surgery, so they did a gas bubble and laser surgery, but it was unsuccessful. So he had surgery on May 10th on the right eye. And then on June 11th, it detached again on his right eye. He had surgery on June 14th. Last Friday, or that might be 2 weeks ago now, it was his first follow-up. And what they were finding is that the edges were already detaching again. The center was laying flat, but he would have to sacrifice some peripheral visions just so he can keep his center vision. And so it just seems this thing piles on. Every time you mention this to somebody, people are just like, you have got to be kidding me. Christy can't drive. David can't drive. They're both dealing with the uncertainty of their vision. There's not a day without pain. So, do you think it'd be a good idea for me to go up to David and Christy and say, hey, God won't give you more than you can handle? Because first of all, I would assume that God did this, that he's the direct cause. And I'm not prepared to say that, because there's a lot of other causes. And not only that, but I think this is more than they can handle. In fact, I'm confident it's more than they can handle. Now, before I tell you some more of this story, let me just tell you the fourth reason that I'm not going to tell somebody God won't give you more than you can handle, and it's because it perpetuates the lie that we should be able to handle everything ourselves. That we should be able to handle everything ourselves. We need to stop trying to handle everything ourselves. That's our problem, is we try to handle everything ourselves. Life circumstances can give you more than you can handle. Satan himself can give you more than you can handle. And I think that must be why Paul would say in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, he would say, carry each other's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. Why would Paul say that? Why would he say carry each other's burdens? Because sometimes you've got more than you can handle. So you need to carry each other's burdens. God never intended for us to handle all of this by ourselves. Now, Galatians 6, 5, we can give that context. It goes on in Galatians 6, 5 to say each one should carry his own load. So we're each responsible for ourselves and what we do, and we each have a load that we should carry. But I believe the scripture makes it very clear there are burdens and there are loads that are too heavy for us to carry. We can't handle it alone, so we have to carry each other's burdens. And the text goes on to say, so that you will fulfill the law. In doing this, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So what is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is that you love one another, that you love one another. And so when you carry each other's burdens, you are fulfilling his law to love one another. People who don't carry each other's burdens, churches that don't carry each other's burdens, lack love. And so the scriptures say we have to carry each other's burdens because there are some loads, there are some burdens that are too much for you to handle by yourself. In fact, I'll tell you this as well, that for you to say to someone, God won't give you more than you can handle, is to deprive the body of Christ the opportunity to show the love of Christ to those who are dealing with more than they can handle. To say to someone, God won't give you more than you can handle, is to deprive the body of Christ the opportunity to show the love of Christ to those who are dealing with more than they can handle. In fact, as I was talking to Christy about this and kind of getting some permission just to share their story, here's what she said, unsolicited from me. She said, I don't know what we would do without the church family. She said, how would we survive? She said, our family is great, but we could not survive without the church family. The meals, the rides, the transportation, the prayers, the conversations, checking in on us, the yard mowings. They have 4 acres to mow. And David's friends from work and Mark Knight from our church, they've mowed for them. Getting their kids to events. Those of you who have kids and know what it means to get, when they get in those teen years, getting them to where they need to go, those early teen years, and people have been helping with that. She said, how do people without a church family survive something like this? It's been horrible what we've gone through. But there's also been so many things God has blessed us with during that time, and we couldn't have made it without those blessings. Things that only come from Him. And here's the thing she said. She said, I know that it's been a massive stress on our family and our children. She goes, but our son Cole is in life groups with Nathan Pounds and Matt Lane, Matt who plays guitar for us often. He says they're his leaders, and they were with him at church camp, and they could be an outlet for him to open up and express his feelings. She said Carly's had the same thing with our children's ministry assistant, Bethany Buffington. She goes, she's been a big support for Carly, and Carly's teachers and Carly's prayer group leaders have been so good. She said, a few months ago, I work comp contacted her to say, we've been underpaying you since the time that this started. And because of that, all their medical bills have been able to be covered. She said, I can't imagine going through all this with the additional financial stress if that hadn't happened. She said, David's job, being able to work remotely at times, has been a lifesaver for them. He's been able to be there with her therapy sessions. She said, the house that we're now in has these big wide hallways where I can get a wheelchair in and out and around through the house. She said, God is certainly providing for us even if He didn't cause this. He's involved and He's not absent. She said, we've had some dark times. We've had some struggles even between each other, but God has provided. She goes, our church family, our Sunday school class, and our small group, people reach out and they listen to us and they provide support to us. In fact, this last Sunday, the Burgers brought David and Christy to church, and Barry and Cheryl Burger and Cheryl Holly, they take the Keaton shopping, Christy shopping to Aldi's or to Walmart every week so they can get what they need. They're supporting them in every way. Christy says, I journal and I'll try to stay in the Word. She goes, there have been times when I haven't, and when I haven't, I really could feel that I hadn't. She goes, there were times when we didn't feel like going to church. Ever had those days? You just don't feel like going? But she said we would go in the sermon that day or the Sunday school class or discussion that day was exactly what we needed to hear. She says, the live stream has really helped because there were times I couldn't go, but I could listen to the sermon and I could participate in the worship. She said, our small group gave money for people to come clean our house for 4 to 5 months, and they provided meals for us. That's what our Sunday school class. She goes, I can't even imagine. Here's what she said. I can't even imagine what our attitudes would be like and how hardened our hearts would be if we didn't have the church. You know, we had 3 baptisms back here, 3 of us baptized. That was a busy changing room, just so you know, right before church. I was running around all in there, clothes flying everywhere. It was crazy. We were behind closed doors. But anyway, that was happening. And in walks David Keaton, of all people. David Keaton with towels and baptismal clothes coming into the room, carrying it in there. I mean, they are connected and serving and positioned in the church because they found that the church is helping them get through this. You see, God has positioned His body, the church, to help people in times of need. And we must not deprive each other of that by saying, hey, God won't give you more than you can handle. You can handle this. You can do this. I think an example, in fact, I always have a page full of notes that I don't use in sermons. I have a whole page of this stuff, but I'll give you one example. One example of someone who God gave him more than he could handle was Moses. In fact, Moses, the very one that Paul's talking about in Corinthians 10:13 about the Israelites and what they were dealing with, Moses had more than he could handle. In Numbers 11, 4 through 6, the weight of leading the people of Israel who were rebelling and wanting to go back to Egypt was too much for Moses. And here's what he said in Numbers 11, 14 to 15. He says, I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. You ever felt like that? Just kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me, look, if I have found favor in your eyes, please just kill me. And do not let me face my own ruin. Do you think Moses had more than he could handle? Does it sound like it to you? I think so. In fact, God agreed with him because in the answer to this burden, God gives 70 other leaders and he puts his spirit on them. And he tells Moses, because it's too much for you. It took 70 more people to handle what he was dealing with. Yeah, sometimes you got more than you can handle. So much so he wanted to die. And God was teaching Moses to share his leadership and to share his burdens. The load was too much. God has not designed us to carry everything by ourselves. He wants us to be in community with other people. And so when we buy into this lie to be self-reliant and pull yourself up by the bootstraps and you can handle it and it's all on you, no wonder we're not taken care of the way we need to be taken care of. No wonder we're not as healthy as we ought to be. Because when we share the load, when we help carry the burden, we show the love of Christ, and we help people through it, and we also allow other people to be raised up as leaders, because Joshua was one of those men that God used as a leader who later would lead the Israelite people when Moses got old and died and went on. Others were equipped and ready to lead because they'd helped share the burden. I want to give you one final reason. I will not say God won't give you more than you can handle. Before I say that, I want you to know this is why it is so important that we don't just do church in rows, but that we do church in circles. And we get in small groups, and we get into Sunday school classes and those mid-sized groups, and we do life with people, because we need people to help carry the burden, especially when things happen that you're not anticipating. And when it comes, you'll be glad you had it. Now finally, number five reason I will never say God won't give you more than you can handle is because it is possible God just might give you more than you can handle. Sometimes God does put things in our life and bring things and give us things and call us to things that are more than we can handle, so that in those moments we realize our complete dependence on Him and that we can't do this on our own. I think of people that God put on mission like Moses in Exodus 3 and Gideon in Judges 6 and Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 and David in 2 Samuel 7 and Peter in Luke 5 and Paul in 2 Corinthians. They were all given tasks and tests that were much bigger than themselves. In fact, many of them were overwhelmed because of what God had called them to do. It appears there are times that God will give you more than you can handle, but it is in those moments that we learn to give Him the handle to steer our lives. Jesus said, you must abide in me, because apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do this on your own. We are completely dependent upon God and upon His power in our lives. It's about learning to depend on Him and trust Him and to look to Him and to rely on Him and to abide in Him. It's essential. And so we're going to have times that we just have more than we can handle right now. And it's in those moments, those difficult trials, we need to be reminded we are dependent on God and He is with us in this. In fact, I want to give you a phrase that I think would be a lot better to use than when someone's going through a difficult time saying God won't give you more than you can handle. I'd like to change that around. So instead of using this phrase, when you have more than, the phrase, instead of God won't give you more than you can handle, use this phrase. When you have more than you can handle, God and His people are with you. When you have more than you can handle, God and His people are with you. It is in that phrase that we're reminded that God has not abandoned us. He's not forsaken us. He's not turned His head away from us. We're reminded in that moment that we are not expected to do this alone in our own power or strength. We need God and we need His people. When you have more than you can handle, God and His people are with you. I'm going to close with this thought, and as I do, I'd like for our servers to be dismissed at this time for our time of communion, and I'd like for all of us just to stand together. We're going to begin to sing here in just a moment, a prayer to God for His mercy, for His power to be at work in us. But I want you to think on something just for a moment, and let this frame what you think about, even during our time of communion that's coming here, where we take bread that's passed down your row, representing the body of Jesus that was broken for us and crucified for us, and we take a cup representing the blood of Jesus that was poured out for us, shed for us, and remember His sacrifice on a cross. And I want you to think about that cross. I want you to think about what happened there as Jesus hung there when He was mocked and when He was jeered and His hands and feet were pierced, a crown of thorns on His head. And Jesus, in that moment, facing death, cries out to His Father and is quoting Psalm 22. And He cries out, "My God, my God." This is how you feel too, I think, sometimes whenever you're going through great suffering and hardship and pain. Why have You forsaken me? Why have You abandoned me? That's how He felt in the moment, taking on the weight of sin, the sin of the world, the spiritual oppression on top of the physical. He's quoting Psalm 22, which is a psalm about crucifixion. We know that psalm goes on to say in the text in Psalm 22 that God has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. The text says He's not hidden His face from him, but He's listened to his cry for help. The Father was there. And I think in moments like that, when we're facing something and we feel alone and we feel like it's more than we can handle, we need to be reminded of this truth. God is with us. God is there. Even through the cross. Even through the cross, He's giving us a way out. Not necessarily of the pain that we're going through in that moment, but of the temptations that accompany it. The cross is a way out of the wrath of God. It's a way out of punishment. It's a way out of guilt, a way out of wrath. It's a path to freedom. It's a path to grace. It's an exit from those things that condemn our soul. And it's a way to the Father so that He is with us in our pain and our hurt. And so let's remember that as we take communion today. He's not abandoned you. He's with you. Let's sing together.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.